Both houses of Congress approved budget plans last night. Though they haven't agreed on details, it's clear that deficits will be huge, that President Obama gets his biggest priorities, and that Republicans have very little say in the budget.
Very little say in it, but much to say about it. Yesterday, we stopped by a chamber at a House office building. TV crews camp in that rotunda to broadcast live shots with assorted congressmen. And as we stepped up, Mike Pence made the latest of his many appearances.
Well, we're talking about capital gains, tax relief. You're absolutely right.
When he finished talking with a distant anchor, Mike Pence took off the TV earpiece and spoke with us. The Indiana congressman represents farmers and auto workers. His critics might call him an ideologue, though he describes himself as an idealist. He's a leader of Republican conservatives who argue that the president's economic plan won't work. Do you expect, as the Obama administration has predicted, that the economy will be growing at this time next year?
Well, I hope the economy is growing this time next year, but if it's growing, it will be in spite of the prescriptions of the physician. It'll be evidence of the resilience of the American people. I mean, I think most Americans know we can't borrow and spend and bail our way back to a growing economy, and certainly this is the strongest and most powerful economy in the history of the world, and my hope in Indiana and beyond is that we do see the glimmerings of recovery next year.
And I'll just mention we're here in a rotunda of a House office building where there's a baby crying in the background and many people going back and forth.
And I love the baby crying because, you know, the reality is that under the Democratic budget, we will double the national debt in 5 years. We will triple it in 10 years. We are passing along to that little baby, my children and your children, a mountain range of debt, which independent experts suggest is going to lower their standard of living for generations to come. We can't do that. There is a moral issue here. We ought to be paying now and making sacrifices now to deal with the issues that we're challenging and not make that little baby pay for it.
Although somebody listening is going to wonder, why weren't Republicans worried about that moral issue when they had the White House and Congress and there were record budget deficits even in good times?
Right. Well, don't wonder. They're absolutely right. Republicans fundamentally failed in our commitment to fiscal discipline and reform and to making the hard choices. We have to have a government, again, that lives within our means.
But isn't deficit spending, or as the White House would put it, investment, necessary in a time of economic trouble? I mean, even your budgets, Republican budget proposals that have been put out, include big deficits.
Is it necessary in a downturned economy? Well, to meet the needs and the commitments of the country for the national defense, for the underserved community, for the most vulnerable, there may from time to time be a necessity to run deficits, but they cannot become the established policy of the United States.
But just so I understand, how does this budget debate right now, the economic debate right now, factor into your thinking about, say, the next election, the 2010 election?
Look, you know, I really believe that what will matter in the next election is which party most connected with the core ideals of the American people and was willing to do what every American family, every small business and family farm is doing in these difficult times. When I sit down around kitchen tables on farms, people are putting off to tomorrow what they don't have to spend it today. They may be getting an extra job in town trying to figure out how to get more revenue. I mean, people are cutting back. They're in survival mode during this difficult time. And I think the American people are going to reward the men and women in either political party that are willing to stand up for fiscal sanity.
You know, that kitchen table analogy is a great one, and I do wonder one thing about it. People do try to balance their budgets at home, but they also, you borrow to buy a house, you borrow to buy a car to get to work,
yeah,
you borrow
bet.
To get your kid through college. The administration casts its borrowing as investments. Would you acknowledge that at least some of that spending is an investment that could pay off in the long run?
Well, let me say, when people take out a mortgage to buy a house or a farmer takes out financing to buy a combine, they don't ask their kids to sign it. And this is what we're doing here, really. I mean, we're doubling the national debt in 5 years. If we were acting in the right way within the budget window, we would be making the kind of investments, to the nature of your question, but also the kind of sacrifices.
So there are investments, in your view, just not enough, not a high enough percentage of that debt?
The purpose of this government is to provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare. We have obligations right now in this day and age and within the budget window that we have to meet. I don't question that. I'm not an anti-government person at all. The question is, who pays for it?
That's Indiana Congressman Mike Pence, who gave no ground, finished the interview, and shook hands all around. Later, an adjusted version of President Obama's budget passed the House, and Mike Pence, along with every other Republican, voted no.